Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And they called it puppy love.
I wish the story were as pleasant as that song makes it sound. But...
Oh, darn.
So the next story comes to us out of Fox 4, and it was a really great job done by Lisa McCormick from Fox 4 about an Overland Park man and a fight over a service dog. His name is Paul Marinsky. His wife, Brittany, had suffered from a lot of health issues and died on August 30th of last year of gastric cancer. While she was alive, she had had a 2-year-old sheepadoodle, which is a term I've never heard, but a sheepadoodle named Tootsie.
I hope never
to hear
it again.
It was a service dog. Yeah, it was a service dog was the point of that. And there was a Maryland organization called Starfleet Service Dogs that had paired her with this dog. Again, the dog's name is Tootsie, and the man and his wife paid Starfleet $141 a month for a wellness plan, and they say spent thousands of dollars on training and care and other related care for Tootsie. So for 2 years, Tootsie lived with this couple and became a part of the family. And even though Tootsie was a service dog, Paul Marinsky also really bonded with this dog. So sadly, his wife dies August 20th of last year, and he wants to keep the dog. He is bonded with the dog, even though it's a service dog. And there is a fight that is going to court today over him wanting to keep this dog.
Yeah, you know what? I do not understand. I mean, given, and this is a long story. I mean, it's not a long story, but it's a story that takes place over a long period of time. It's not just something that, you know, one day they said, okay, give us the dog back. And he said, no. And they said, we'll go to court. No, he said that for months they had been trying to negotiate, that he was told, yes, there are avenues available under which you can do that. And he offered to buy the dog. And they said, well, that's something we can talk about. And it seems like for the longest time, he was trying to get answers out of them and not getting any, not getting a yes, not getting a no, just getting a, well, we'll have to talk about it. We'll discuss that. It's like when you ask your dad for raising your allowance. Well, that's something we can talk about later. And they just would never give him a good, solid answer. And then at some point, and it's really not clear why, it turned from, well, we'll figure out a way to do this, to, no, give us the dog back or we're going to court. And that's the part of it I just do not understand.
Yeah, it'll become a matter of I am not a lawyer, but I suspect at some point it'll become a matter of whatever contracts were in place and what was in writing when he got possession of the dog. Because basically, the organization SSDI is accusing Marinsky of theft, saying Tootsie is a service dog in perpetuity. You were paying essentially for care and to rent. That's a horrible term to use, but you were paying to rent this dog.
Accurate, though, for
the period of time in which you needed it. This is not a dog that, because, and I understand this a little bit, because of the training that goes into a service dog and because of the money that SSDI spent to train this dog to be a service dog. And so SSDI has an investment in this dog going to other people who need it.
And it is not cheap. I know a little inside baseball on what goes on with those things. It is not cheap to get that kind of training done. And what he was saying is, look, I understand that. And he offered to make them whole. He offered them thousands of dollars to cover their cost of training this dog and saying, look, there's other dogs out there. I'll pay you. I'm not trying to rip you off, you know, or trying to have you, you know, give this dog a whole bunch of training that you're not going to be compensated for. But let's come to an agreement on this. And at some point, they went from a very soft answer to a very hard no.
And other than a matter of principle, you know, SSDI saying, these are our rules, dang it, and we're going to stick to them. I don't know what the motivation would be for SSDI to not come to some kind of agreement, especially if he's offering to pay for whatever investment, you know, financially, whatever investment SSDI, because as long as SSDI can take that money and put it into a replacement dog, you got to think, okay, then we're good. And so what's the principle, the we're not going to give in stubbornness here?
Yeah, and you know? I mean, even from a PR standpoint, as you were saying that, I was picturing it in my head, because not that this makes any difference to the mechanics of a court case, but from a public relations standpoint, how do they come out of this looking like they're not trying to steal a dog from a guy whose wife died of cancer? Wow.
The way that they get out of it with PR is, I don't know how well known this organization is, but they say, this is what I would say if I was them, It takes time. I have no idea. You know, I didn't see a figure in here on how much he was offering. I'm going to pull a number out of my head and say,
5 or 6 grand.
Okay, I was going to say 10 grand. Let's say, to make it easy, he was offering 10 grand. However you put value on what it takes to train another service dog.
Yeah, here's the quote. He said, I've got it right in front of me if you want to. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm trying to ascertain what my options are. In mid-October, I specifically said, what will be needed to keep Tootsie? I said, I'm prepared to take over all of the costs and pay up to $5,000 or $6,000 to ensure that she stays with me. And he said, at that point, they didn't reject his offer. They didn't give him a hard yes, but they didn't say, no, we can't do that. And then it just kind of devolved from there.
From a PR standpoint, if I was SSDI, what I would be saying is, sure, you can offer us the money, and probably what they're trying to do is figure out what this dog is worth. You know, what did all of that training take and how much did all of that cost? But if I were SSDI, I'd be saying, yeah, we can train another dog. But in the meantime, you are denying a sick person a service dog that they need right now. Like, yes, and now if I were him, I'd argue, well, I'm dealing with grief and mental health issues. What about me? This dog is a comfort to me also. But SSDI would say, we have chronically ill people. Now, yes, we can train another dog, but that's going to take us 6 months or a year. We have chronic, and you are taking this dog away chronically ill people who need this dog right now. That's how you overcome the PR problem.
That's absolutely accurate. Absolutely accurate. And what he would then counter with is saying, okay, so I'm going through my own grieving process, and you're going to make me go through another one by taking my dog away from me. Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, what a horrible fight.
Because they would say, you can get another dog that doesn't have this special kind of, you don't need a dog with this kind of training. You don't need a service dog. You just need a puppy. Whereas
we'll
somebody
get
else
you a puppy.
Needs this dog, you know? Because it's probably true. He needs the companion. Now he is going to say, I've built a relationship with this dog.
Uh-huh.
Which is true also. But, and again, I don't know if just, he needs to just offer more money. I mean, at some point, money's going to talk enough.
You may very well have just hit on, if he loses this case, and I'm not saying he's going to. Look, I hate the idea of taking somebody's dog away from him. But you may very well have hit on the argument that this will swing on. Because dogs die. Dogs don't last forever.
Yeah.
So everybody who has a dog loses a dog. So, okay, you lose this dog. People do that all the time. That's not rare. And in this case, you'll know that the dog is still alive. It's the old, he's living in a farm upstate and he's very happy. It's that deal, you know, but you'll know that it's actually true in this case. So take comfort in that and go get yourself another puppy.
Yeah, boy. So if you scroll all the way down to the very bottom of the story, this goes to court today. You're right. It's more complicated than this. At one point, they did give the dog to somebody else in Iowa. There were concerns about the dog not getting the veterinary treatment. At one point, there was an ear infection. I mean, he's raising issues of, I can care for this dog better than someone else. And by you giving this dog to someone else, Tootsie's not getting the medical care that I assume it's a she that she needs. At the very end, he said, I'm in it for the long haul. Like, I'm committed. I'm going to keep going until I get her back. So I don't know how much money it's going to take. But if it's an issue of money, then write a bigger check.
Yeah,
and see what that does.
I just, wow. I can't get past it. And don't mistake the arguments that I was making before as being my arguments. That's that's not what I'm saying needs to happen here. Because I can't think of... I can't think of something that would make me think that it's okay to take somebody's dog away from them. I get the legalities of this, but I just can't justify it.
I do. Because and I'm not saying I agree with it either necessarily, but I do understand this organization saying,
oh, yeah,
you can throw as much money as you want at it. Our contract said this is a service dog and we have a limited number of dogs available and an increasing number of people that want them. And we have other places that this dog needs to go. And so we're sorry for your loss. But by the way, this is probably what happens with these dogs a lot. This is probably not the first time this organization has encountered this. You're giving service dogs to people who are ill, who at some point die, and those service dogs need to go to someone else.
And if this comes to testimony and he sits there on the stand or whatever, I'm picturing this like the Scopes monkey trial. So he's sitting there on the stand and says, this dog is my last connection to my dead wife.
Which is the last line of the story. Yeah. And... I know it sounds heartless, but if I'm this organization, I'm saying, what about the next person, though? Uh-huh. What about the person who's alive? What about the next widow who is grieving and who needs that? You know, you're taking that away from somebody else who needs it.
Mm.
It's a fascinating story. Fox 4 did a tremendous job on it.
Yep.
And again, this is in court today. So this is somebody we should perhaps attempt to get on the air with us at some point to explain more of this process. But... talk about the story out of Fox 4 and a gentleman who lost his wife to cancer late last year. And for 2 years, his wife had a service dog named Tootsie that they were able to get from an organization called Starfleet Service Dogs, Inc., or as we are calling SSDI. You'll hear us mention that a lot. It's a long story. There's a lot to it. But the very short version is that she had this dog for 2 years and then she dies of the cancer that she had, and he wants to keep the dog. He and this dog have bonded. It's the last connection that he has to his wife, and he is now in a fight with this organization who basically says, you didn't adopt the dog. The dog is a service animal, and yes, you paid money while you essentially rented this dog, but you knew that up front. That didn't mean that you got to keep him in the end. He, at one point, had offered to pay some money in a settlement to try to get to keep the dog, understanding that there is an investment in that. SSDI kind of wavered on it for a while, and now this is going to court.
Yeah, and so we'll go to the phones on this. If you want to get in with us, by all means, 576-7798. It's a tough situation because, as Jamie pointed out, you can look at this from a logical standpoint and see what the service dog organization is saying here, but you can also look at this from a from an emotional standpoint and say, how can you do this to this guy, especially when he's not asking for a gift? He's saying he'll pay you. Off to Kansas City we go, where Terry's calling in. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
What's up?
I was just calling to talk about the dog situation with the man whose wife passed away.
Yeah, tell us.
I just feel like that, you know, the dog is not a machine, you know, and dogs are loyal. And so with him and his wife, you know, the dog was, you know, it was bonded to them. And once the dog bonds with somebody, it doesn't matter what kind of training they had before. I feel like that the dog is not going to be nearly as effective with another family someplace else, because the dog is going to wonder, why was I taken away from my family? And so that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing. I feel like that, you know, they would be wise to take the money from the man, because the dog is already bonded with that family, and you just can't take that dog away from him and then expect it to act the same with another family because the dog wasn't trained for that. I mean, they can't be. They're, you know, they're loyal and they love, so...
Okay. All right. Terry, appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't know. I have never heard of that situation before. I'm sure that they go through it all the time. You know, the organization that trains the dogs, they must go through this all the time because, well, again, same way we were talking about, dogs die. People who are in need of service dogs also, you know, from time to time, we lose them. So, it must happen. But I don't know. I mean, I think those dogs are trained so well that they act according to their training. They don't act according necessarily to the people. Yeah, sure, a dog's going to bond with a person. Person's going to bond with a dog. But the dog's always going to do what it's trained to do first.
And I wonder if the ambiguity or indecision from this organization, because I was looking back at the timeline a little more. So she died August 20th, and it was December 5th. He was able to keep the dog until December 5th. That's when he got the text message saying someone was coming to take Tootsie. And I wonder if it was just an issue of COVID slowed everything down. And so maybe that was part of it. And on December 5th was when they had someone who needed the dog. Maybe for the first couple of months, it was able to be up in the air a little bit because there wasn't a demand for the dog. And then they get someone who needs a service dog and they realize, well, this one's technically available. So.
And fits. Yeah, this dog's training fits with the person that's going to need this dog.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's how this became. And again, who do you deny it to? The person that needs the dog or the other person who needs the dog? Who do you give it to? 5767798. Let's go to Tonganoxie next and talk to Rick. Hi, Rick.
Yes, good morning. I was a high school teacher, and then after I retired from that, I worked for an agency that helped disabled people, and I also have cerebral palsy myself, and I just feel that this gentleman is being rather selfish. There aren't enough of these animals to go around. It's like if you have, obviously it's an inanimate object, but if you have a hospital bed and the person passed away, you wouldn't keep the hospital bed just because you like having a reclining bed. It's not what you do.
I see the analogy you're making, and it does make it a little bit different that it is something that's alive. You know,
well,
nobody
sure,
bonds
yeah.
with a hospital bed.
But
I get what you're saying. The dog is in fact a tool as well as being a pet.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that I actually every year I give money to the place I used to work so they can buy shower benches and this and that. There's not enough to go around, and obviously, sadly, there's a lot of abuse in that area too, SSI abuse and things like that, money that's wasted, and that needs to end. But the people that really need it very, very badly, and there's not enough to go around. So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a
thank
lot
for the
call. This is one of those where this doesn't turn out well, no matter how it turns out. Because either he is going to be denied bonding with a dog that he has a relationship with and needs, or someone else who is like his wife 2 years ago, who could genuinely benefit from a service dog, doesn't get a dog that they could genuinely have helping them through a chronic illness.
This is why I could never be a judge. This case is exactly why I could never be a judge, because I know what the fair ruling is, and I know I know what the law probably says about it, and I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could do it.
And it stinks.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd have to just enforce. And again, it'll come down to the contract in the beginning. It'll come down to the contract they signed, and whether SSDI wants to stick to it. For whatever reason, if SSDI says, you know, no amount of money you could give us is going to be enough for us, and it might just be a matter of principle. SSDI might just stick to it, saying we can't have everybody just trying to negotiate to keep these dogs after the person dies.
Great point. Yep.
You know?
Because that would open the floodgates, because then everybody would say, but I love the dog. You have to let me buy it from you.
And it'll become a matter of only people with the 10 grand or whatever it is can buy the dog later. And then SSDI will look like they're only in it for the money.
Yep.
You can keep the dog, but you got to come up with 20 grand on the other side first. And so then it looks like they're taking advantage of someone's grief. Hey, you came into life insurance money, kick over 20 of that, and you can keep that dog that you bonded with.
Never be
so
a judge. It just can.
This never ends. I think we do better as consultants. And
yep.
not actually just give our opinions and not actually have to be the judge in any form.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.